I'd like to call this meeting of the Committee of the Whole to order at 6:30. Roll call, please.
Olson?
Yes.
Fishman?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Yeah, she says.
Esaias, absent. Barry?
Here.
Vaccaro, here. Janey?
Here. Pledge of allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any town hall, Carolyn?
Is there any town hall? I do want to just mention that we have Sam Madigars, who is our business office specialist here today. She did a lot of the legwork for the audit, and so we invited her just to attend the meeting and kind of understand a little bit more about the process.
Okay, and also trustee Boyer is responding via phone because she is ill. So I believe I need to have a roll call vote to make sure that it's okay with everyone.
Yeah, I'll bring a motion to allow trustee Boyer to attend this meeting via telephone.
I'll second.
Olson?
Yes.
Fishman?
Yes.
Boyer? Esaias, absent. Barry?
Yes.
Vaccaro, yes. Janey?
Yes.
Boyer, did you say yes?
She can't yes herself.
Abstained.
Abstained, okay.
Yeah, okay, so the purpose of this meeting is to review our 2022-2023 audit.
Take it away?
Yep.
All right, my name is Monica Damski. I'm a principal at Lauterbach and Amen. I was the lead in terms of this first-year audit that we had with the library. I'm going to walk you through three pieces of required communication that we've published for the June 2023 audit. First, I wanted to start off the board for having me here today. It was a pleasure getting to know the library. It was our first-year audit. I also wanted to thank Carolyn and her staff. I know there was a lot of first-year troubles. The first year, we do require, not troubles in a sense, but a lot of more requests. We have to obtain all new agreements because we haven't had them in the past, all new bond documents, debt if applicable. It was a lot of pulling for them because we were new, and I believe there was some staffing changes as well. So again, thank you to everybody for that, their hard work. An audit does require a great deal of extensive time and effort outside of everybody's scope of their everyday routine. So again, thank you to Carolyn and her team for getting all of our requests in a timely manner. One of the first pieces I'll talk about is the SAS 114 letter. So that was in the audit package you received. The primary purpose of this letter is to convey whether or not we had any disagreements or difficulties working with management during the course of this audit. So you'll find in that letter that we do say we did not have any disagreements or difficulties working with management. In that packet, you'll also find the management letters. Nothing really major to go over. Looks like all the policies that we would recommend to have in place, the library did have. The only current recommendations we did have were upcoming GASB pronouncements. So we'll work directly with Carolyn to get those implemented for the years they're due. Some are 2024, some are 2025. We're going through extensive winter training within our firm this upcoming winter to kind of get our hands around all the changes. All these implementations are coming and were thought of during COVID, so GASB was busy. So then we're now required to implement them. So again, once we go through the training, we'll do templates like we did for the GASB 8796 for Sabitas that were to be implemented this year. And then again, whatever's applicable to the library, we'll get that implemented when the time is due.
Do you have any idea when that might be?
The templates or? Again, we usually do those trainings January on our end. So February, March, if applicable. Yeah. One is for the error corrections, there wouldn't be any changes. That's more footnote documentation. The only one would be GASB's, and that's June 30th, 2025 for the library. Yeah, so we have some time on that one. But yeah, the error corrections, that's more for restatements. Doubt we'll have one next year. We didn't have any this year in terms of anything we needed to restate. So again, that would be just for footnote disclosure anyways.
Question?
Was there any discussion between the administration and your firm regarding our current check signing policy and controls?
So what we did during internal control walkthroughs, if that's what you're relating to, we took random selections from the GL detail and kind of ran those through. Is that what you're regarding, like to make sure check signatures matched?
No.
Okay.
April, May timeframe, there was a discussion at the board about whether the controls over check signing were adequate, because our check signing plate and access to the blank checks were both in the hands of one person, being the director.
So, without having it in front of me, but per the internal control policy document that we received and the testing we had performed during preliminary field work, we didn't notice any issues when it came to that. I can definitely put that on our notes for next year's audit to review that in more detail. But during our internal control policies and the internal control documentation that we received, and then we take that and we read through it, and then we design our internal controls based on that information, it didn't come to our attention.
Okay, because the director had indicated that she would bring that up with you during the audit.
Okay, I'll put it as a note for next year to definitely look into that.
Is it something you can look into now? Because I think it was a question on the board about the plates being having access with one person, and then we found out others had access. So I think it'd be nice to get some control on it now. And what we're doing.
So I definitely would not recommend having the person who has like the plate, you mean like the signing ability, mm-hmm. with blank checks stuck, personally.
Because we're so small, it's really hard to figure out a way to get around that. So we have the checks locked in our safe, but I have access to the safe. We have the plate with the signature card in my office locked up, and then we have the key with the checks in the safe.
Okay.
But we have a rule that I can't approve the checks without the business office specialist stamping the checks. So
yeah,
because
there was
a
person. Yeah, there's a test we do to like check the number of like the check sequencing. So then we can easily check if there was a check voided or if the check was not approved by the board in the process of like the AP process. So that kind of test correlates with that and kind of is a double check on that, but I can definitely think through and send over additional recommendations that we would have, but again with the check sequencing that we look through and then the board approving check stock and we can see which numbers, then technically there is that dual control even with Carolyn, but then the board approving the checks. Well, that makes sense.
Subsequent to the date of the audit, in I believe it was October, I brought up an issue because we were asked to approve checks that were not in sequential order, and in fact there was a missing check number. And so that just reinforces a concern that I have as a registered CPA as well as a member of the support.
Yeah,
that was a learning curve because we had a new employee who was switching things around, trying things out, and it was an oversight on the one check. We did find it, we rectified it, and we were on our way.
So yeah, I would definitely change
year.
Yeah, that 2024
2023 2024.
Okay,
that happened a couple months ago after the new fiscal year.
Okay, then I would it happened once, can happen again. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely change that. Off the top of my head, I want
to
think it
back
through
to numerical order on the check register. So we're doing that now again and going back to the same way that we were doing it.
So is there a way you can do dual check signing? Like when you're doing checks, like it has to be two of you guys?
That's it. Sam stamps the check and then I review it and then I initial our binder.
Okay, and that's after this happened?
No, that was the process beforehand.
So now what happened, what changed after?
What happened with the missing check? That was...
It needed to be voided, and then, because the check printer broke. So I printed the check, but you can't print it with regular ink, and so I had to wait for it to come in and reprint it, but that check was for like the previous board meeting. So it wasn't, but I printed one check for the upcoming board meeting before that, so there was just like one number missing, but it's only because it was for the last board meeting.
Mm-hmm. And because the machine, the printer broke.
Okay.
Issue,
right?
We didn't, I mean, when we did our testing, even our gap testing last year, nothing came out. So it might, it could have been one-time instance.
This just happened this fiscal year, mm-hmm. So you wouldn't...
Right, that's what I'm saying. It didn't come up in ours. Yeah. But let me think through some items and just kind of see better procedures to get that in place. Any other questions on the GASBs or the management letter? Okay. Then to the actual financial report itself. On page one, that has the Lauterbach and Amon letterhead. This is the independent auditor's report. Ultimately, this letter states that management is responsible for the presentation and fair presentation of the financial statements, and then it's our opinion as the auditors to generate an opinion on them. So this year, the library did receive an unmodified opinion. That is the cleanest form of opinion, the highest level of assurance that we can issue. Ultimately, that means that the financial statements are free of material mistakes, free of material misstatement based on all of our testing throughout the fiscal year. On page 5 through 11, this is the management discussion and analysis. It's a great narrative summary of the fiscal year's financial highlights. Financial statements can be quite difficult to read, so this section actually breaks it down nicely into charts and graphs, so we definitely recommend the board read it at their leisure. I'm not going to go over it in quite in detail because I'll go over the numbers, which is right after that. If you wanted to turn to page 19.
Trustee Olson, did you have a question?
This is the fund level income statement for the governmental funds, ultimately what it's budgeted for on an annual basis. About halfway through the page, you'll see a line that says excess of revenues over under expenditures. So you'll see going across, the general fund had $708,000 of $700,000, of revenues over expenditures this fiscal year. There was a $25,000 transfer from the general fund to the non-major funds, which I'll go over in a little bit. So the net change in fund balance for the general fund for this fiscal year was $683,000, leaving the ending fund balance for the general fund at $2.1 million. To the right is the IMRF and FICA account, $80,000 in excess revenues. Ending fund balance of $306,000, and then your non-major, again, we'll go over those in the back, but they had a $53,000 in excess revenues over expenditures this year, $339,000, so $340,000 in ending fund balance, very healthy fund balances across the boards on that. Any questions? Next are the notes to the financial statements. This is just going to give you a lot more detail over everything that happened within the fiscal year when it comes to investments, any transfers. So you'll see there was a transfer from the capital projects fund into the capital projects fund from the general fund for $25,000. On page 30, you'll see your capital asset detail. All the beginning numbers come from last year, any increases, decreases. Your ending total net capital assets for this fiscal year was $3.7 million. On page 31 is long-term debt. Again, the library doesn't have any long-term debt, but here we do have to report compensated absences, IMRF, and OPEB. And then the next few pages are all IMRF related, so that obviously comes from GRS, which is the accounting firm, or the actuary that completes the IMRF actuary on a yearly basis. On page 57, so this is the revenues and expenses for the non-major funds, so based on classifications, liability insurance, audit, unemployment, workers' comp, the foundation, building maintenance, and capital projects are all non-major. So again, down the middle, you'll see the excess or deficiencies over or under expenditures. All of them had a positive change. Unemployment and workers' compensation were on the deficit, but still had positive ending fund balances as of year end.
And we were trying to reduce those fund balances.
Because they were growing.
Right, and then next year, we'll take a look at all of them again and levy higher in the ones that we need to.
Correct, because you don't want to have those, the fund balances keep going higher on those, correct. We agree with that. And then starting on page 59 is your budget to actual. So just wanted to, we always include these in our reports. So it shows you your final budget and then your actual amounts for the fiscal year. Any questions?
I have a couple.
Yeah.
The supplemental schedules on page 66. Is this our responsibility or is this your responsibility? And the reason I'm asking is that if you look at the top tax levy year, it's mislabeled in the second column.
Mm-hmm. For those, mm-hmm.
215. I believe that should be 216.
Correct. I agree. I can get that updated.
But is that our?
Yes. So this our report writing team would have sent, because we don't have the statisticals for you guys. Or what happened was this could have been taken from the last, it was probably taken from last year's audit report and just Carolyn or the team updated for 2022. But the years, it was probably on our team internally that messed up the dates. But the information, I would say, comes from your audit report from last year, because it would have the same long-term schedule, but the 2022 would have come from the district.
But I would have expected that your internal review would have caught that. Is that an unfair?
That is a very fair. It went through multiple reviews and they didn't catch it.
Okay. I have two other points that I have concern about. On page 29, property tax, the description that we got there, and again, I ask, is this our internal responsibility or is this something that should have been caught by review? The property tax description does not adequately address our situation. We are in two counties. As a result, we have both DuPage and Cook County, which have different periods of time in terms of which taxes, property taxes are due. In DuPage County, property taxes are due on and about June 1 and September 1. In Cook County, property taxes, I believe the initial payment is due
March 1.
Mm-hmm. And the second payment is normally August 1.
Correct.
Although in the last couple of years, that has not been the case. In fact, for 22 taxes due in 23, December 1 was the second.
Correct.
Payment. And I think the same was the case last year.
I don't know. I think it was late spring.
Is it the spring late? Is it spring late last year?
I thought the first
one was always
on the second one. Okay. Yeah.
I don't think went as far as December, though.
But I think these notes should reflect that there are two counties involved and what the normal due dates are.
That's a fair statement.
Yeah, I agree. I will definitely bring this up to the report writing team who was in charge and the person who reviewed it, that it was not correct.
Now, the other thing that I'm concerned about is on page 33, litigation, and I'm assuming that you sent out requests to our attorneys, and I believe we have two attorneys of record. Ritman and et al. And then we have a labor attorney that you probably sent confirmation request out to.
Excuse me, Trustee Olson, could you speak up? I can't hear you.
Oh.
Thank you.
We also, about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, were informed that we were part of a suit involving multiple taxing bodies for practices in which they were in a disagreement on how taxes were being collected. And last year I brought this up with our auditors, and Roger agreed that it was valid, Roger, our normal counsel, but that the representation came from the state's attorney. As far as I know, it's still an open issue.
The attorney didn't send anything back.
He did not provide.
Discharge that we're aware of.
I put a note to go through the attorneys. There was definitely not anything that was something we would, based on his response to us, there was nothing in his letters that we would have disclosed as a footnote, because that gets reviewed by numerous people, but I will go ahead and review that. We do have a standard litigation footnote. That does not necessarily mean that the library is in any lawsuits, but we always have a standard footnote, which I think then you had asked to change, because it's a standard one that says the district is involved in various, I don't remember the exact language we use, but it's in terms of maybe those types of cases where it's immaterial, or it's not necessarily something that the attorney gives us, but then per Carolyn's request it was to put that there was not any, and because so we removed our standard to change it to this, and because the attorney didn't note any of these, we were confident and comfortable changing it to what Carolyn asked us to.
Now, Trustee Olson, when there's litigation, that means that I'm a former attorney, I'm retired. I mean, the library was served with notice and had to appear, file an answer, or otherwise plead. And I don't believe we've ever been served individually to give us an opportunity to respond. If there's some sort of other litigation, whatever the results of that litigation, wouldn't affect the library, because we were never served with it. They can't enter a judgment against the library unless you're served.
Well, this has been a discussion over the course of the last 2 to 3 years at the board level. And it was first brought to our attention by Director Nance that there had been litigation.
Not directly to the library. It was
the library is a specific taxing body that was listed with specific property references.
Well, that doesn't mean we're in litigation.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
That doesn't mean that we're involved in litigation. In order to be involved in litigation, you have to be served, or you file a complaint against someone. Just because someone names you in another lawsuit Doesn't mean you're involved in it.
Are you looking for a description to be included in somewhere in here about what happened 2 years ago? I'm not following where we're going with this.
Well, I don't know that we've ever been released. That's my question.
But if we haven't been served, then there would be no release. And if they look at the records, you said you looked at the records.
Yeah, he sends us a letter, sometimes CCs the clients, and there was nothing listed on there.
We're not defendants in any type of a lawsuit, so I think the point at the moment is moot.
I can't answer. I don't know. Okay. But, you know.
Did you have something else besides that?
I think last year the conclusion was that, you know, it probably, from Roger, that it probably made sense to have a footnote.
I can look at last year's audit and see if there was a footnote in there.
I don't know that it got included. But it was brought up as part of the discussion at the time that the audit was presented to the board.
So it seems like there wasn't necessarily actual litigation served to the district, and with them not putting that in their attorney response to me, I don't think it's necessary to be a footnote.
Anything else, Trustee Olson?
No.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Monica, thank you. We need to get this approved tonight, so when I go into my regular meeting, it would be that we would update the property tax description.
Yeah. And
update the 2015 year.
Yeah, so then what we can do is just send you pages or whatever, just to get that updated. Yeah, we can do that. And then we'll send you an updated PDF for sure.
Anything else, anyone? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Much.
Thanks, everybody. It was a pleasure meeting and working with everybody. Yes. Happy holidays. Hopefully,
everybody else stays healthy.
Yeah. Bug goes away. Yeah.
Stay away from your kids, even if you love them.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Do I have a motion to any other town hall?
I'll make a motion that we adjourn this committee meeting.
I'll second that.
Roll call.
Roll call. Okay. Olson?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Sias absent. Barry?
Yes.
Lucaro, yes. Dave?
Yes. Thank you, everyone. We have a 4-minute intermission.